Tonight's topic is the perseverance of the saints. So God's children will persevere by God's grace. And the Lord is using means to let his people persevere. One of them is to threaten them. You'll see that later. Let's read about that in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, the verses 1 through 13. And if you are reading along at home or here, please pay attention to the threats in this piece. 1 Corinthians 10. So you've heard about tulip, I suppose. Tulip, the T of total depravity, and the U of unconditional election, and the L of limited atonement, and the I of irresistible grace, and the P of the perseverance of the saints. Tulip tonight about the P, the perseverance of the saints. Very precious, beautiful thing to talk about. And of course we know that God's children will persevere because God makes them to persevere. Before I go there, first just a little story. When I was young, in my early 20s, I had a talk to my pastor. And I talked to him also about the desire to become a minister. And at the end of this conversation, he said, "Do you know such and so?" I said, "No, I don't know that man." He said, "He is such a serious young man. I have a feeling that the Lord is working in his heart. So why don't you become friends with him? Just contact him, you know, and I'm sure you will be good friends together." Before I contacted him, his girlfriend broke up with him. And that completely devastated the young man. And as we say in English, he got off the deep end. So he said, "God doesn't exist anymore. It's all nonsense." He sold all his books, theological books. He ridiculed his dad in the newspaper. It was over, completely over. And as far as I'm concerned, he is still an atheist. So promising, so tender, so feeling in his heart. It looked so good. My minister thought he knows the Lord. He knows the Lord him. Now, we believe in the perseverance of the saints, right? Does that mean that the young man can yet be saved? Is it possible that the beginning was good, and then the end of the deep end, but you know, the Lord never let his people go anyway, so that's fine, that's no condition, so the Lord has never said, the end must be good. The Lord has said, as long as your beginning is good. Right or not? Some say so. Some say so. Once converted, always converted, no matter what. I see the point, but you're making a mistake now. If the beginning is good, the Lord will make the end good. The Lord will keep thee from that evil, and he will cause you to repent. It will cause you to come back. If that's not happening, then the beginning was not good. So, upright, genuine people of God go to heaven, regardless of what happens. But the Lord is holding on to them. And you can't say it does not matter what happens, because if people lose everything from that point, the beginning has never been good. You know, I also heard of a lady who was in a church secretary or something, and she had chosen for the Lord when she was 6 years old. And everyone looked at her as a believer. And then it came out that every weekend she had an affair. And the minister talked with her about that. He said, how can that be? He said, well, the Lord forgives that. It was. Yeah, I have a good beginning. So this is also something the Lord forgives me. I can continue with that. And the minister said, you know, if you continue like this, you go to hell. And she just scared her. To hell? My previous minister never said things like that. No, the minister said, it was a young minister, new minister. He said, but if you live in sin, you go to hell. And if you continue like this, it has never been saving faith. Kind of shocked her, and I think it had a good outcome as well. So yes, we believe in the perseverance of the saints, but we don't say it doesn't matter what happens, what you do, you will be fine anyway. It might never have been true. It might never have been true. So, next paragraph. Perseverance is a must. Perseverance is a must. Some say, well, that sounds kind of Roman Catholic. That sounds kind of you have to do it yourself. No, that's not what I mean. But you must persevere. God's children must persevere. Will be well. They must go on. They must continue. It's a must. Without holiness, it is impossible to see God. God's children are chosen from eternity, are given by the Father to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can pluck them out of His hand. And yet, they need to persevere. They can't fall away from faith, if that's been true. But it is possible that later on, it appears that it never were a child of God. So that's the point. It is possible that they never were. In other words, whether someone's beginning is good often appears later. And if there's no perseverance, it has never been true. If it is true, they will persevere. Without perseverance, there is no salvation. The Lord has never said in His word that it's enough to have a good beginning and that it does not matter what happens after it. But God has decided that He will give perseverance to them that are chosen. He will give it. So it's a must because God will give it. So being a communicant, to live a civil life, having a beautiful conversion story, always in church, reading the Bible, but living in sin, you go to hell. God is a gracious God. And once true is always true. But in this case, it has never been true. It's never been true. So that's why. So perseverance is absolutely necessary. A must. Let's read the Bible from the Bible. John 6, verse 38 and 39. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He has given me I should lose nothing, should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So the Lord Jesus has received his church from his Father, and it is his will to bring it to heaven. And of all which he has given me, all the elect, I should lose nothing. That is God's will. Nothing will be lost. All the elect will be saved, regardless. So once true is always true. Once converted, always converted. Once chosen, always chosen. Also look at John 10, verse 27 and 28 and 9. John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the hand of Christ and the hand of the Father holding on to the church, and nobody can wrestle the church out of God's hands. They're in God's hands, and nobody can pluck them out. So there is a perseverance of the saints. It's a must, and if it appears different, it has never been saving. Regarding John 10, about the sheep and the shepherd, we don't only read that the sheep cannot be plucked out of the hand of God, but also that the sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice and follow him. So that's true for all God's people, for all the sheep. They hear his voice and follow him. And if someone is not following him, someone is not saved. Although people can fall into sin, they cannot live in sin. See the difference? You can fall in sin accidentally, in weakness, but you cannot consciously live in sin like Judas. That's they are not saved. The Apostle Paul also speaks about keeping them, holding them. The Lord does not forget what he has begun, but maintains faith, maintains it. You know, in high school, I liked painting. I liked art. And later on, a couple times I started a painting, and I didn't finish it. And they are still in my closet and just halfway. Maybe someday we'll finish it. Probably not very soon. The Lord will never do half work. The Lord will never do something, begin something, and then lose interest. He makes them persevere. He is letting them persevere. He does not let them go anymore. He maintains the work that he has begun. That's the perseverance, God's work. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And I'm not saying that God's children will become perfect here on earth, but the Lord works on them constantly. Not just a very thin layer of new paint, but profoundly. That he profoundly restores them and changes them and helps them. Because let's not forget that Satan is cunning, the flesh is weak, and the world attractive. Therefore, it's not necessary to watch and pray, to not be led into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there's much work to do for the Lord. It's not so the Lord says, now I forgive your sins, give you no heart. I set you on the rails. You on your own now. If that will be true, nobody will be saved. Because God's children don't remain on the rails. Don't remain on the road. They just stray all the time. All the time. So they need to be kept from left to right and be put on the straight, on the narrow pathway again. There's lots of help for the Lord. For the Lord is nothing is too wonderful. He can do it. He is the Almighty One. But yet it's, in a sense, a lot of work for the Lord to maintain the work that he has begun. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. You must follow peace and holiness. Next paragraph. Who is persevering? Who? Who works it? Who works the perseverance? Of course, the Lord, right? The Lord is the worker in the work of perseverance. He let the church persevere. It's his work in the first place. And it's good that perseverance does not depend upon us. If we had to depend, if the Lord would have said, I begin, you maintain it, it's your choice, you keep it up. If you don't keep it up, it's lost. We would all be lost. Because we can't keep it up. God's people cannot keep going. So the Lord is doing all the work. Nobody can keep himself with the salvation the Lord has begun. And therefore, perseverance, God's perseverance, is a comfort for the unstable Christian. And in a sense, all Christians are unstable, right? And they say, I can't keep going. I'm too weak. I fall again. I don't trust myself. I can't go to the end. I can't walk that fast. I'm too weak. A comfort that the Lord says, I will do it. I let you persevere. I preached not too long ago about the Apostle Peter, right? And the Lord Jesus predicted that he would deny him three times. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And then you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So the Lord told him that he would fall, but that the Lord Jesus would let him persevere, that he would hold on to him. Now, having said this, that God is doing the perseverance work, it's not so that the Lord perseveres himself for them, but he let them persevere. He works perseverance in their heart. He maintains them, and he works perseverance in their heart so that they persevere. It's not so the Lord says, well, you don't have to persevere because you're saved and you have grace anyway. I will forgive it all. You don't have to change because I forgive. No, the Lord says, you persevere. I make you to persevere. I make you willing. I make you able. I make you passionate about that. I give you a hatred against sin. So you have to do it. You have to persevere, my child. It's the same as conversion, right? And believing. It's so that the Lord is converted for them, or that the Lord repents for them, or that the Lord believes for them? No. The Lord works repentance in them, and the Lord works faith in them, and so the Lord works perseverance in them. He's not only doing the things for them, he works in them. So perseverance is the thing that the Lord is doing in them. Next paragraph. Removed from the vine. Removed from the vine. Some people disagree that the Bible teaches the perseverance of the saints. I say, no, the Bible teaches, some say, the Bible teaches that you can be a true Christian and lose salvation. And when we ask, prove it from the Bible, they say, John 10. John 10. About the vine. You remember the parable of the vine, right? One vine, different branches, both sides. Some of those branches bear fruit, grapes, and others not. And they're all in the vine. Some are cut off, but they were in the vine. Right? See, they say, see? They're in the vine, did not bear fruit, and they're cut off. So they were saved and not saved anymore. They're in Christ and not anymore. What would you say? How do you explain that? They were in the vine and not anymore? Really? Is it happening in church that some people are in the vine and the Lord cuts them off because there are no fruits? Well, two things. In the first place, it's a parable. And with parables, you have to be cautious. You cannot just, with a parable, say this is that and such is so. It is something about the main thought in the parable. So parables don't prove that. On top of that, if the Lord Jesus would have only spoken about the fruits, he would have talked about two vines. A good one and a bad one. One with fruit-bearing, one fruit-bearing and one not. But it's one vine. And that's strange, right? One vine. And those branches are in the same vine. And they look exactly the same. And yet are different. And that's the point. The point of the parable is that people can look exactly like a child of God. They look like as if they're in the vine. They look like as if they're in Christ. There's no difference. You can't see a difference. The only thing is they don't bear fruit. That's the difference. So also in the parable about the vine and the branches, if a branch does not bear fruit, he is hewn down. He is burned. And then we know from hindsight that vine was never really in, the branch was never in the vine, only at the vine. John 15 was this, not 10, John 15. If a man abide not in me, is it possible? If a man abide not in me, so he's in Christ and does not abide in him, he is cast forth. He is cast forth. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast into the fire and they are burned. Next, how? How to persevere? The church is commanded to persevere in the faith, lay hold on eternal life, keep what you have, abide in me. But how? What does that entail to persevere? Well, a few things. It's just in general. Later on in more detail. What does it mean? Persevere. God's children are asked to keep praying. Right? That's part of it. Keep praying. Keep reading. Keep listening. keep obeying, keep friends with God's people, share the gospel with others. The Lord uses instruments for that. Another example. There was a child of God, at least that's what people thought she was, and she thought herself that she was a child of God. And exemplary life, the very tender lady. And she had a talk with the pastor, and she said, "There's one problem, Pastor. I hate my mom. I don't care what it was about. Something serious, I suppose, but she could not forgive her mom." And then the young pastor said to her, "If you don't forgive her, you can be saved." And she got very upset. Now, that pastor may have said things kind of in an unwise way, in an untactical way. But he said, the Bible teaches that if you're saved, there are moments, not all the time, moments that you can forgive. Because then you are the sinner. So that forgiveness, just as an example, I could mention all different sins, but being unforgiving was in the way, made her bitter, made her upset, and she could not bow under it. So in perseverance, you have to work on that. In perseverance, you have to work on forgiveness. And that's sometimes so hard. I'm not saying you trust the person. I'm not saying you have to not feel the pain anymore, or you have to forget everything, or you have to be friends again. No. But that sharp desire of retaliation has to go. You know, Lord Jesus told, right, about the person who was, let me say, forgiven $10 million. And the same person was very upset when someone owed him $10. And he just made his life so impossible. And the first banker, so to speak, who had forgiven him $10 million, got very upset with him and killed him. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we need to work with trembling on our salvation. Fear and trembling. But it's God that does the work. Now, more in detail, God has also instruments to work that perseverance. You have heard of the 5 articles against the Remonstrants, the Canons of Dort. The last chapter, chapter 5, is all about the P. Tulip, P of perseverance. The last chapter of the Canons of Dort is all about perseverance. And I recommend reading that whole chapter. Beautiful 15 articles. Let's deal with Article 14 tonight. On page 114, Article 14 of Chapter 5. And you will see a few very interesting things. In the first place, how perseverance is defined, what is perseverance, what is the Lord doing, and then also the means the Lord is using, I think 7 means. 3 definitions of what perseverance is, what the Lord is doing, and 7 means. Page 114, Article 14. And as comparison, and as it has pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to begin this work of grace in us, so he preserves one, continues two, perfects three, it by the hearing and reading of his word, by meditation thereon, by exhortations, threatenings, promises thereof, as well as by the use of the sacraments. Beautiful. So what is the Lord doing? He has begun the work of salvation with the preaching of the gospel. The gospel did that. But now he is also doing more. He has begun to work the grace in us, so he also preserved it. You know what preservation is, right? Preserve. He keeps it intact. He holds it up. He watches over it so it cannot spoil. He keeps it fresh and new and living. So he preserves it so it does not go away, watching over it. And he continues it. So he keeps the faith going. It doesn't stop. So that car, that wagon is not stopping halfway. He continues it and puts motion in there. He continues it and he perfects it. He perfects it, he brings it to a good end. Not perfect in the sense of no flaws anymore, but in the sense of bring it to a good end. The Lord has begun the work of salvation in the heart by the preaching. And so he preserves, he continues, and he finishes, he perfects it. See, that's the Lord doing. God's children do not continue. They do not preserve it. They do not perfect it. The Lord is doing that by means. And then the means the Lord is using, the Lord is not letting his people persevere in a secret way, kind of in a hidden way, in a mystical way. Not knowing that nothing happens, the Lord just puts his hand over his people and just mystically keeps that faith there and mystically, invisibly preserves them. No. Something happens. The Lord uses means, visible means, audible means to keep it up. It's really dramatic and alive, not hidden, but revealed. So the Lord preserves and continues and perfects it by the hearing and reading of his word and the meditation thereon. The hearing, I suppose our forefathers meant the church service, right? Now, some people think that we go to church for the conversion of the unconverted and for the comfort of God's people. I object to that. I would say you have to say it a little different. You also go to church for the salvation of God's people. Well, but they are saved already. Yeah. But they need to be kept. They need to be preserved. They need to continue. They need to perfect it. So it's not done yet. And that's what the worship service is also for. The worship service is not only to begin the work, but to keep it. For God's people to keep it. They need to go to church not only to be fed and comforted and be pleased and be instructed and no more. Yes, also to keep it. To hold on to it. The Lord uses that means. That's why worship services are so important. Also for God's people. Otherwise they die. last day, nothing is left from the faith. It's food and drink to maintain it. The reading of the word as well, the reading of the word. If you may ask, do you read the Bible for yourself? Many of us still read the Bible after meals. That's good. It won't hurt to read the Bible for yourself personally. Also God's people, to keep reading the word, to keep it going, to persevere. You need the Bible reading for that. Without Bible reading, you just get so thin. You lose so much weight. You die. You faint. It's not going well. You have to eat it. That sincere milk of the word. So not only books about the Lord, also the word itself. He preserves, continues, perfects it by the hearing and reading of his word, by meditation thereon. So that means you've read the word, you close the Bible, and you just do something else. You forget about it. No. You think, I read at peace. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean for me? Practically, spiritually, my feelings. Did I learn something from this? What does it mean for me? So you have to digest it to work it through for yourself. What did I read? That's Bible reading. Not only reading it, understanding it, also applying it. What does it mean to me? That's meditating thereon. And by exhortations, I think there is some overlap in those points. Bible reading, Bible hearing, preaching. Exhortations are also in the Bible, correct? Yeah. But exhortations are important. Exhortations like, seek me and live. Hold on to eternal life. That's important. Ask, knock, repent, seek, believe. All those commands in the Bible, all those exhortations, exhorting his people, do that. And you will live. Seek me and live. Whosoever believeth in me, right? So the Lord gave special attention to the exhortations. Other words for exhortation: encouragements, command. By meditation and by exhortations, pay attention to those exhortations. Threatening. That might be new to you. A while ago, it was new to me. God loving his people, threatening them? Really? Why would the Lord threaten his own people? He loves his own people. He's not going to threaten them. And you can warn them gently and give them direction. To threaten them with being destroyed, go to hell. As a destroyer? Really? Yes. In love, the Lord threatens his own people. We read from 1 Corinthians 10, right? 1 Corinthians 10, the end of verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Do you want that too? Overthrown in the wilderness, to be destroyed and killed in the wilderness? Or verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. It was just a massacre that you want. So it's threatening them. Or verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Do you want those servants to come? threatening them. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed with the destroyer. You know, the Lord threatens his people to keep on their toes, to let them feel it. And in one of the examples I used, the threat of that minister, if you continue this way, you go to hell, was a blessing for her. She stopped it. And the minister I heard this from said, and every year I got a Christmas card from that person. She was so thankful that I stopped by threatening her. She was a child of God, and the Lord says, no, if you continue, you go to hell. God's people need that. But not only threatenings, also promises. Promises. The Lord is holding out promises to his people to keep them going, to let them persevere. Let me give you four of them. Four promises. 1 Peter 5 verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Put a crown on your head. And the crown? So the Lord lures his people. His people. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. I will reward you. There will be a recompense of reward for you if you don't throw your confidence away. Or Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Before my Father, I will confess him before my Father. Is that what you want? A defender for yourself? Or Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh, also the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You will receive life everlasting. So God is working on his people by threatenings and promises and exhortations. As well as the use of the sacraments. So the sacraments, the baptism and the Lord's Supper, are not meant to work faith, but to persevere in faith. To persevere in it. So as you see, this work of perseverance is something that continues throughout the entire life of God's people. Doesn't stop. Keeps going. Continue. Persevere. Perfect it. And that's an ongoing thing to the end of your life and to your last breath. So that means repentance, believing, and gratitude goes on and on and on. It's not so that you come to a point where you are saved and then it's enough and then nothing happens anymore. No, it's a continual thing. And what a comfort. The Lord encourages the church to fight a good fight, but he also encourages them with the fact that he has won, that he has the victory already. So although the Lord Jesus won the war and gained the victory, he yet encourages them and exhorts them. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 are very nice. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God's people are called to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. That's something. The Lord's saying to his people, there's continual fear and trembling. It's serious business. But in the next verse, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you work hard, and God will do the work. For it is God which worketh in you. That's perseverance. With fear and trembling working, and the Lord doing the work. Was it comfort? And that comfort is also to God's glory. To God's glory. Let's end with that. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58. You know, all points in the doctrine, also this point of perseverance, is about God's glory, right? It's all about God's glory. His honor. That's all that counts. Also the perseverance. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he gives the victory, right? He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. You don't work for nothing. So he is saying, we have the victory in the church, and therefore you have to work hard. Because he has the victory. So far.